Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the Weekly Chat with Royals manager Ned Yost.
And it's all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford on 350 Highway in Raytown. Good morning, Ned. How you doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing all right, man. I don't know if you heard the big news, but the United States, Canada, and Mexico awarded the World Cup for 2026. Now, I'm not going to ask you to pick a team or anything like that, but you kind of, I think, may have a unique kind of perspective on this. You were in Atlanta when the Olympics were there in 1996 coaching for the Braves. So what was that like to have the world in your city for a couple of weeks?
It was pretty amazing. The problem was we weren't there. You know, being in Atlanta with the Braves at that time, we went on like a 21-day road trip. So we were like everybody else, just watching it from the news every day what was going on. So we had no stadium to play in because they were using every stadium that they had. But it was really neat the way that they had it all spread out. I mean, it went from Cobb County and the Conyers. You know, they had venues all over the city, and it was really a really neat deal.
What kind of buzz did that create for the town, basically for that entire year that you guys were there? Not necessarily for the baseball team, but just for the city in and of itself.
Well, I mean, it was huge, but the economic impact was unbelievable. The stuff you know that they were doing to prepare for this. I mean, for a year out, you could see them start to spruce up all the freeways and all the highways with, you know, new plants and new landscaping and, you know, just cleaning everything up, all the new venues, the new stadiums, the swimming pools, the horse venues, everything that the volleyball venues, everything that went on, you know, it was just a lot of work. And I mean, it was, you know, it was a big process. It was a 3 or 4 year ordeal where they started and, by the time the Olympics got here, everything was done just right. But, there was a lot going on there for a couple of years.
And you guys ended up getting a new baseball stadium out of the deal, too. They turned in what was Olympic Stadium into the Turner Field. And obviously that's not there anymore as they've moved to a new park then. But you guys got a new baseball stadium out of the deal, too.
Yeah, we did. And actually it is still there. You know, it's only 21 years old, that stadium. And what they did, it was really kind of cool. They came in, the engineers designed a baseball stadium, and then once they got the baseball stadium designed, they came in and then redesigned it to be an Olympic stadium so that when they were done with the Olympic stadium, they could take all that away and it would be an absolutely gorgeous baseball stadium. And that's what it ended up being. It was a great stadium for years and years, and it's still there. And I think Georgia State plays baseball, and they do concerts and stuff there. But it's still there on site.
So when you look back at that time, what do you think that did for Atlanta itself as a city, like from just a reputation standpoint, maybe an image standpoint as well, to have that kind of event there?
Well, I mean, it kind of brought you on the world stage, but you remember too, that's when they had those bombings.
Yeah.
When they were, there was so much stuff going on at that time. The games and then, the bombings were going off and, it was just, there was a lot of hecticness. But, it just still today, when you drive by the stadium, you'll drive by and see that Olympic torch. They moved it over there by the stadium, and it just sits there and just kind of a reminder of, the Olympics were there, and it was in a great Olympics and a great time.
And the 21 days on the road really didn't affect you. Still won 96 that year and made it to the World Series, huh?
Yeah, we were a pretty good team back then.
I was just thinking, they kick you out for 21 days, you have to find a way to rent your place out to somebody and make some coin while you're not allowed to be there. There probably would have been someone that would have rented your pad for a lot of money.
Yeah, I think, I think that was happening back then. I could, you know, you hear little stories about that. But, yeah, we had I couldn't displace my whole family, so we just stayed where we were.
Talking with Ned Yost here on 610 Sports Radio, as you do every Wednesday at 9. And yesterday was bizarre with that baseline deal. And after the game, you said there's a lot of things that should be reviewable. So what do you think should be reviewable in baseball?
Oh, there's so much more that can be reviewable. That play right there is absolutely reviewable. I mean, there's plenty of camera angles. And, of course, when we went back and looked at the camera angle, you know, the rule is 3 feet. You can't veer from your fielder sets the baseline, and then it's 3 feet from that point. And Eske was in a spot. Now, your arm length is about 3 feet. So once you get outside that arm length, you've violated the rule.
Yep.
And, of course, he got there, Eske reached, and he jumped back probably 5 feet. So I think once you look at the replay, obviously you could tell that he was out of the baseline. But there's traps on the infield. There's, foul tips, you can look at and see, stuff like that. But, I just think there's a lot more now with the angles. Foul ball down the line. Is he running out of the 45-foot line? There's just a lot of things that they can see on video that's not reviewable that should be reviewable, in my estimation.
I think at times, Ned, and not just in baseball, but maybe in sports, we make sports sometimes too hard and too difficult. I heard you with Ryan on the pregame show yesterday talking about how, like, the sabermetricians don't care if you strike out or whatever, but then they value the strikeouts per nine innings for the pitcher, which kind of sends a mixed message. And I think with something like this, if it's reviewable, if it's a questionable call, why not just review it? We're creating too much thinking time in sports these days.
Well, I think we are too, but the whole idea behind instant replay was to get the play right.
Mm-hmm.
So really what they're saying is, okay, we've gone for years and years, with this system, we want to get the play right, but here's the thing, we only want to get half of it right. And, again, there's so many more things that they can review that needs to be reviewable. And I think last night would have been a perfect example, of something that could have been reviewed and would have been turned around, which would have made a difference in our game.
Well, and I also think, too, like, baseball's so hung up on this, let's speed up the game. Really, another 3 minutes to review a play that had a determining outcome of the game? Are we really speeding the game up that much where somebody's going to notice an extra 3 minutes that's spent there on something like that?
A pretty big play.
Yeah, and again, it's not even going to be 3 minutes. When you look at that, it's pretty obvious that, it's outside of the 3 foot rule that the baseline was set, and it's, it's more than 3 feet. So umpires can look at it. I mean, we looked at it, and it took us about 20 seconds. So, I mean, it's not even going to take 3 minutes to get it right.
No, I agree. And I think also, too, with the way that sports is changing, we were talking about it yesterday. You know how NASCAR is doing the stages now, right? Do you understand the stages in NASCAR? Because we don't. We have no idea what that means. But we know it's good, right?
Yeah. What they're doing is they're just racing. A lot of times they'd have a 500-mile race, and like anybody else, you're going to try to save your equipment for the first 450 miles. So you're just going to run. You don't care if you're running 10th. You don't care if you're running third. You're just going to take it easy. These staging points now make the competitors race three times during the race to get points. And it's all important. So, they get to that stage, they're trying to get first, second, or third because they're going to get points for it. So it just makes the racing a little more interesting.
What would you think about baseball doing stages? 40-game stages. If you win three stages, you make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've never thought about that, but that's not a bad idea. It's one that shows some thought and some free thinking a little bit. So yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, just for the fact that 160, like in America today, you know, nobody has the attention span to do anything, right? So for 162 games, and then the last week of the season is very exciting, but then you've got, you know, times in June where it's just not that exciting, or you guys don't get off to a good start, but maybe you have a great, you know, second half and you weren't playing great enough to make up for the deficit in the first half. But if you have it broken up into stages, if you win a stage, you're going to put yourself in position to get into the postseason. And also, I think it keeps the fans interested a long time, too. Like, say we could wipe out the first 40 games that you guys played and start over from zero. That creates a new type of, you know, interest, I think, from the fans. And, hey, the Royals have another chance. Even with a bad start, they got another chance because stage two is here.
I'd vote for it. I like it. I think that's a great idea.
Well, good.
Call the commissioner.
I will, and I'll give credit to Ryan Wachowski, our producer, for coming up with that idea yesterday. We were talking about ways to do it.
It seems it's worked in the minors to create some excitement, right? First half, second half seems to have been an okay way to go about it.
Yeah, it only makes sense. I mean, it does. It makes perfect sense. You know, break the season up into, you know, three sections or so, and, you know, it's a good idea. I like that idea.
All right, good. We'll continue to push it, and we'll use you as the face person, then the champion this, because you know you're the World Series champion and all. Besides that World Championship, I had a moment last night. I'm coaching the girls' 7 and 8 year old softball team. Every kid for the first time this season got a hit in practice. I was so happy. Like, it was so awesome as a coach to see these kids finally get it. You know, when the light goes on. Besides winning that World Series, what's been the proudest thing you've been about, or the best thing, the coolest thing you've seen happen as a manager in baseball?
Oh, that's hard. I don't know. You know, it there's probably a lot of them, but you know, it's like you said right there. It's you get wrapped up in their achievements and their accomplishments. You know, I think the first time, you know, Salvi and Gordy and Greg Holland made the All-Star team, that I was really proud. The first time we had 3 Gold Glove winners, I was really proud of that. And not for me, but for them to see how far they've come and to get special recognition on, something that they've done at the major league level was special. So it's a lot of those types of things, you know, seeing guys make All-Star teams, seeing guys win Gold Gloves, seeing guys win Silver Sluggers, those are special.
Talking with Ned Yost here on 610 Sports Radio, and I know Vern asked you if you're spending more time in the clubhouse yesterday, and you said, where am I supposed to change? You know, like, it was just a tremendous answer. Not counting questions that Josh and I have asked you over the years, what's, like, the dumbest, most bizarre question you've gotten?
Oh, man. I don't know. I get so many of them. It's hard to remember all of them. And I'm doing better. I used to really just, you know, if it was kind of a dumber type question, it was like, really? But, you know, now I try to have a little fun with it. And I knew what Vern was talking about yesterday. Yeah. You know, am I watching more the players getting down in the locker? I knew that, but you know, the way that he stated it, it was just, something we could have some fun with. But I don't know. You get them every once in a while where they're just so obvious that, it's just like, why do I need to answer that? And anybody will know the answer to that question. But I think what I've come to understand here is that they just need a quote. You know, they need a quote for their paper. And if you just give them one, they go away happy. So I try to, you know, be respectful more when the questions aren't, what I think are stimulating enough. But, there's a bunch of them. Trust me, I get them every day.
All right, so if you're Vern today or somebody else that's there at 4:30, you know, getting ready to ask you a question, what would you ask you today?
What would I ask me today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't even really thought about that.
Thank you. Yeah.
How
hard it is, right?
And see, that's part of the problem, is that in order to be a good reporter, you've got to be prepared. When you show up, you've got to be prepared. You've got to have questions that you want to ask, and they've got to be well thought out, and they've got to have some road to be led down instead of just asking a question just to be heard, right? And that's what I like about Vern is that he's got questions every single day, and for the most part, they're pretty good questions. You know, they're questions that our fans want to know about. You know, it's just they're not like, oh, do you know Mike Moustakas' favorite color? It's like, what difference does that make? You know, and they're good questions, and you know, they're well thought out questions. So that's the hard part about being a reporter is coming in and being prepared every single day.
So what is Moose's favorite color?
I don't know. I'm just saying those are the types of questions you get.
Well, I'll be out there later today, so I want the answer to that one.
Vern will find out later today in the Royals clubhouse.
Yeah, we want to know. Ned, thanks as always. We appreciate it. See you out at the ballpark and go get one tonight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Ned Yost with us here on 610 Sports Radio, all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford on 350 Highway in Raytheon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.